Bienvenue dans un autre épisode du podcast Indien sur le cyclisme présenté par The Bike Affair. Je suis votre host, Harsha. Aujourd'hui, nous allons parler de Paris-Brest-Paris. Oh, I'm sorry. For a second, I thought I was speaking English, but I was actually speaking French. Okay, let's do that in English again, okay? Welcome to another episode of the Indian Cycling Podcast, brought to you by the Bike Affair. I'm your host, Harsha. Gokul is training and riding in Belgium, so I have the keys to the kingdom today. Today we will be talking about Paris-Brest-Paris, which takes place from August 18th to 22nd in, you guessed it, France. We have two return guests today, Krishna Kunam and Rajesh Krishnamaneni, who were on the show talking about their experience with Alpi 4000. Rajesh and Krishna, please reintroduce yourself. Also, start off by complimenting my French.
Hi, Harsha. I was just surprised what's going on. So why still in India? Why I'm hearing so much of French? Yeah, anyhow, thanks for having me on show again. I'm Rajesh Krishnamaneni from Hyderabad. As a profession, I'm into glass facade industry. So I started running and cycling in 2015.
Hey, Harsha. This is Krishna again. Thanks for having me back here. And for a second, as you started out there, I was wondering if I was in the right place or not. Reminded me a painful memory of traveling from New York to Montreal by my bicycle, and I crossed over into Canada, and it felt like I was in a completely different world, because the moment you cross the border from New York into Canada, nobody speaks English.
Oh yeah.
Right up to Montreal, it's all French.
Montreal is the French-speaking part of Canada.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay, okay.
And this just brought back memories, because you go into a store and nobody speaks English.
Yeah.
So this just felt like, you know. but about myself, you know, you're a software engineer who runs a small firm doing apps for mining.
Okay. That again, like you clarified, that is actual mining, not data mining.
Yes. We actually focus on metal mines, but anyways.
Right. So the last time you guys were on the show, we spoke about Alpi 4000, and Krishna, then you said that Paris-Brest-Paris is like the holy grail of randonneuring, and this is the equivalent of Boston Marathon for runners. So tell us about why that is. Like, why did you think that you wanted to go to this?
Well, I'm not good at history. I probably will defer to Rajesh on the history, but I'll add a couple of things before, you know, Rajesh can take off on that. Randonneuring, the whole sport, or, you know, however you want to look at it, started out with the French randonneuring organization. You know, everything else we have is a derivative of that, right? So when, I think 2015 was this, when I first started cycling in Hyderabad, and, you know, meeting people like Krishna Mandava Garu. They were at that point, this was one of my first rides in, you know, the 200 Brevet or the 300 Brevet. And at that point, I remember Krishna Mandava Garu was preparing to travel to the PBP. That's when I heard that there
mm-hmm.
was something like a PBP hour. And they made it sound like that's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and these are all steps to that goal. That's where it started, and then every year you kept doing these SR series where you did all the four rides, and here we are now ready to go there. That's all I can think of. All I know is it's been there forever. I don't know what that forever means, and that people from all over the world come there to party, right? The rest,
yeah.
Rajesh can explain.
Yeah, when I started saying randonneuring in 2016, so everyone wants to do the Paris-Brest-Paris.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are doing a PBP. So before this, probably we did couple of other events which is tougher than PBP, but still we are on our goal to achieve the PBP. Okay, now coming to the original question. So the first edition of PBP started in 1891.
Mm-hmm.
So with a very few cyclists, about less than 40 numbers, they started in 1891. And Boston Marathon started in 1897.
Mm-hmm.
So from every 4 years, this PVP is going on. And since due to this World War II, in the year 1941, they holded the PVP for 2 editions.
So there were crazy people all along then.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not just us. It's
yeah, just when Hitler was in their backyard, they just waited. But the moment he left, they started again. It's also a strange thing nowadays to have an event that takes place once in 4 years. Like, it seems almost like an oddity, especially when we have all this instant gratification. And effectively, if someone doesn't finish the race this year or can't go to it after planning for it, they have to wait another 4 years to even attempt it. Forget finishing it.
Yeah, that's a very painful thing, quitting the ride in mid of a event, Harsha. At one point in LEL, even I felt, after riding 1,000 kilometers, I thought I was forced to about to quit. But something will motivate us to go ahead and finish the line.
I can relate to the pain part of it because I did not finish LEL and I'm itching to go back and ride there.
Mm.
So hopefully, you know, and you still have to wait 4 years because LEL is also every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever that 2021 comes, I am trying to go there. But now they have this whole new mechanism of qualification to get into LEL. So I don't know if I'll get through. But, you know, it's that feeling that I left it unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
And I... there's nothing I can do but wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one thing I can say, instead of quitting or having a DNF, it's better to have a late finish, whatever. If you are, something is going wrong in your nutrition or something is wrong with your mechanical issues, at least you will have your own satisfaction that you have finished the PVP.
Yeah.
Irrespective of time. Of course, it doesn't mean that you really need to have the homologation number or whatever it may be.
Mm.
We are doing all these kind of events for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's not we are to representing any state or country.
Since you guys mentioned London, Edinburgh, London, LEL, and now you're going to Paris-Brest-Paris, I'm going to tell you what I read on one of the blogs. So someone said PBP is a party and LEL is an adventure. Now you guys have been to LEL. So you've done the adventure. Now, what do you expect in this party?
Party, of course. I think the context there is based on the number of people that you see around. I haven't been to PVP, so from the comments that I see, you're going to find a rider along all along the way, all along the 1,200 kilometers. You're going to meet, definitely somebody's going to be with you. LEL. There were points where we were alone, but it was not that long. I mean, a few kilometers, we would not see anybody. There's another event that we both did is Alpi. And there was a whole night, I was just by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the adventure where, you know, there was only 400 riders for Alpi. And there were points where you wouldn't meet anybody. Whereas, you know, London was, LEL was a little better than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's over 1,500 plus riders. So you would see people, you know, they would ride along once in a while at least. There's a body that you can see. And then Paris, there's people everywhere. PVP, there's
right.
somewhere. So I think that's where the party comes. It's also the crowd because it's such an old event.
Mm-hmm.
This crowd on the street is what I hear that, you know, they're volunteering, helping
mm-hmm.
you, giving you stuff and... I don't know how true it is. We'll have to figure out once we get there. But if that is the case, then it's definitely going to be a party.
So my only advice is, yesterday I saw a video of Peter Sagan literally signing, doing an autograph while riding on the Pyrenees.
Yeah.
So if someone asks for an autograph, please do oblige, okay? Because that guy seemed really happy. And I would be if I was the one asking for it.
Yeah, probably we can carry some souvenirs and give it.
Yeah, just hand it
out to the supporters.
Yeah.
At least a sort of a Indian badge or a very small souvenirs kind of a thing.
So you're adding to the weight that we have to carry for
probably, yeah. At least for the.
I think it's worth it if because interestingly, Alpi, one of the towns I was riding through, I stopped at an ice cream gelato stop basically, and the lady at the counter gave me her address and asked me to send her a postcard.
Oh, So nice.
So if, although she knew very little English and it was broken Italian for what we can understand, but the message came through. She gave me her address, asked me to send her a postcard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that leaves a good experience in along the ride. So, if we can give something, you know, away when we're riding out there, that, I think that would be great.
And second thing, PBP is we are turning back on the same route. So there is no loop on the PBP. But for LEL, in some segments, there are a few loops where you may not able to come back on the same thing. But whereas in an event like LP, there's no way you are going back on the same route.
Mm-hmm.
So the rider pass and we are not tracking back on the same route.
Yeah, you wouldn't see anybody.
Yeah.
PBP is, you know, probably... halfway the 300 kilometer mark or even sooner, you would probably see a rider coming approaching from the other side because they've gone all the way and are coming back. LEL, we had the same thing, but there were parts of the LEL where the road, each way was different. The to Edinburgh and back was on a different route. LP, nothing.
Mm. Yeah, in LEL, I saw one rider on the Brampton. It was about a 400 kilometer mark. And I met one of the riders, so I thought I asked him, so you are going to stop on the Brampton or you are heading back to Moffat? Moffat is basically the next control point. So he replied me, no, I'm coming back from Moffat, Edinburgh, and I'm heading back to London. Oh my God, so there's a difference of about 500 kilometers between me and that rider.
So let's talk about the terrain in PVP. It's 1200 kilometers, 12,000 meters of ascent. We talked about LEL just now. How do you think the two compare? And also you've done LP. So in terms of toughness, how do you rate PVP?
Hey, before you go into the ascent description, when we were planning for LP, I and Gokul had an interesting conversation. I had this crazy or so-called crazy Excel document that I was planning, that I used for planning. And all I accounted for was the ascents.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that would slow me down. And Gokul says, what about the descents? Aren't they going to make you faster?
Mm.
And I'm like, no. Because I'm going to use up that time for the rest. I'm going to take rest because, you know, I caught up some time. I don't, you know, it's 1200 meters of ascent, but it's also, 12,000 meters of ascent, but it's also 12,000 meters of descent. So, you know, there's suffering, but there's also fun at the end.
Most of the PBP is of a rolling terrain. It's not like a LEL. We have a very long gradual climbs for about 600 kilometers of a climb, but it's a very long, it's about 30-35 kilometers long stretch climbs with about 3% to 4%, 5%.
Not steep, nothing
not
was
so steep.
Steep, yeah.
But whereas in PBP, you have a rolling terrain, it's the max gradient is about 9% is a max gradient.
9%
like
is very short.
Very short, very short. Like even our movie towers is about 8% of gradient. At some point, it hits that gradient. But since it's a rolling terrain, we have to use that downward terrain to take the momentum and we have to climb back.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be more calculated while shifting the gears because we are not get used to the most of the rolling terrains.
Mm-hmm.
Because our Shankarpally road is most of our rolling terrain, but it's not like the what we have in the PVP. It's a very short stretch of rolling, where it goes down and it immediately kicks up.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, you need to be very careful while shifting the gears. There are more chances of you breaking the derailleur hangers or shifting some mechanical issues. So, and moreover, while taking on the climb, some people might be riding on the very hard gears. So where you will be damaging your knees also, because it's not you are riding just on a 200 kilometer or 300 kilometer stretch.
Mm.
So for that, you need to maintain that cadence and it has to be very careful.
So this isn't like us pumping it up in HRC races. This is, you have to pace yourself.
So when he speaks of rolling hills, I mean, and comparing it with our Shankarpally route, I think each hill, if you want to call it that, on Shankarpally route is not longer than 2 kilometers. You climb and you go down in a 2 kilometer distance. Whereas here, it's probably going to be longer. And some of those climbs are going to be much steeper than what we have.
What we have now.
So, you know, you might have a movie hills thrown in every few kilometers.
Yes.
That's how you would get to 12,000 meters,
yeah.
right?
So, one of the things that people clearly mention about LEL, about PBP, is the windy flatlands, where in LEL it's mostly rainy. Rajesh said last time, it's almost flat rain, and Alpes, it's a lot of cold heights. So what would you do if there are all these flatlands, but there's also a lot of wind?
Well, I think Rajesh had a lot of winds in LEL too.
Yeah, and while coming back, there's a lot of winds.
And it's mostly crosswinds, not too much of headwind, but it's mostly crosswinds. The closest I can relate to was riding up to Montreal, and you know, it was 8 degrees, and the wind chill probably made it 4 degrees, and you have wind speeds of, I think, almost 40 kmph. You felt like you were being thrown off the bike, because it'll keep pushing you off the road. You can't accelerate. You know, I was averaging, 14, 15, and it was just crosswinds. It's going to be there here as well, and I think most people are recommending be with others, help each other from protecting yourself from the wind, and see how you can make up speed. So somebody takes the hit from the wind, but the guy who's beside him is protected from the wind, so he gets these easy. You swap out, that's what you do in the races, right?
Yeah.
It's a similar thing. Use your friends
yeah.
or whoever you find there.
Yeah, it's better to ride in a peloton. Even on the LEL, we rode as a peloton it's a very large group of riders.
Mm-hmm.
Since the roads are it's a bit narrow roads, and you cannot ride more than a 2 mile of a road.
Mm.
So, but try to work in a peloton. So save your energy.
Mm.
And hydrate and nutrition is the most important thing.
So I was just going through the list of things you have to bring along on the race. According to the PBP website, they have included everything from non-flashing headlights to extra shorts to toilet paper. Now, obviously, this is a 1200 kilometer race. So let's talk about how meticulous your preparation has to be for something like this.
Well, the toilet paper is a funny one, but I can understand why they said that. imagine 600 people waiting for a restroom at a control. At a control. And as much as the staff want to help it, I don't think they can refill stuff fast enough. So, and the toilet paper means that you can go anywhere. don't forget to dig 6 inches deep, right? they have mechanical support from what I understand at most of the controls. You just need to be able to get to the next control, but they do have mechanical control help. But the problem is they don't carry enough spares. You're talking 6,000 plus riders. How many spares can they carry?
Mm.
So you have to carry whatever spares you can carry. And there is no drop bag support, which is a huge difference. That means, I don't know if the drop bag concept is explained.
No, go ahead and explain that.
So the organizers normally take a bag from you and provide it to you at some point on the way along the ride. So they, at a specific control, they say you can access the drop bags.
Mm.
Even for our run-nearing events here for a 600 kilometer ride, for example, they pick up drop bags and give it to us at the 300 kilometer control. And we normally put like a change of clothes or extra set of batteries, stuff like that in the drop bag, so we don't need to carry them with us. LEL had multiple drop bag points. We can only pick two, but they had options. Alpi had a drop bag point because Alpi was like a figure eight loop. There was the central point was you can use it twice at least. PBP has none. There are third party that are providing the drop bag support, but there is no, from the organizer itself, there's no drop bag support. So whatever you need is on you. And that's why they say, keep an extra pair of shorts or, even a jersey. You might need a Gillette because there is going to be rain. You might need rain shoe covers. Whatever you can think of, mechanical, chain links, spokes, whatever you can think of, you probably need to carry them. And that's adding to your weight, you know. But that's what's needed, right?
Yeah, it's a very big list what we made, Asha. But probably we'll post that link.
Actually, we should put it in the show notes so that, you know, so like someone is going and they want to make sure they didn't miss something. I think it's kind of important, actually.
Yeah, we can publish that.
The funny part, and you know, probably to the Indian listeners, this would make sense. What we did for LP was I had my mom make kongura chutney and tomato chutney, and we had packed it in this little, like, use and throw ketchup kind of packets. And, you know, the food choices were limited, and we need spicy food. I mean, can't help it.
Yeah.
Right? So, open one of them, and they're great because they also have a lot of salt in them.
Yeah.
So, you need salts, you need the spice, so that works. So, if somebody's out there listening, you know, that's a trick they can use.
You won't believe it. In the last episode, Gokul went to Niseko Classic in Japan, and one of his complaints was that he didn't notice that food doesn't have as much salt as it does when Indian food, and he had cramps on the race. And later he realized one of the reasons may have been that his food in Japan didn't have that much.
So, we heard that in a Gokul podcast.
Yeah.
The point was
so that is, while this sounds like a weird quirk, it's actually something that is going to affect you on the race.
Yeah, because you're used to the salt, you don't get it there.
Mm.
It's going to hit you at some point. So, you know.
So, who is going before and going for acclimatization, so better to carry some salty and spicy stuff from India, like pickles? I remember in last time in LP, on day 5, we were having the same pickles, the pasta with the gongura chutney and
tomato pickles.
Yeah, we had a bread with
pickles. Now, spread your pickle on it and it's awesome.
Bread, cheese with a combination of homemade tomatoes or pickle. It sounds good. It tastes good.
And it's comfort food,
point,
right?
Yeah.
So, let's talk a little more technical details here. Now, what are the gear ratios that you will be using? And tires, aero bars. Let's talk about these kinds of really technical cycling.
I will tell you what stuff Rajesh is going to use. I'm sorry, but I couldn't help. The excitement kicks in. Rajesh is going to be using a 5339 chainring. And I think he's going to be using 1125 cassette. Rajesh?
No, Krishna. So probably I'll be using with the 1128 cassette. So in LP, I use the 1134 cassette.
We use 1134.
1134 with the, even the front chaining also is a
5234. Oh, okay.
5234.
Okay, so why the difference?
So the terrain, because in LP, the last segment is about we have to go climb Stelvio Pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's some point it kicks in about 18% of gradient after riding 1500 kilometers. But whereas this is about rolling terrain of 9%, so probably we may need 1128. I'm going to use the cassette.
So
let
me say this. On the front, the chain ring, on the front, the more the rings, the harder it, the more the teeth, the harder it is. On the rear, the lesser the teeth, the harder it is.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say 5034, that is the front, I would probably stick with 5034 because I don't have as much power as he has.
Mm-hmm.
So I want the lesser number of teeth on the front. He would probably prefer something like a 5236. On the rear, 11 being the hardest chain ring, the cassette, I would probably still continue with 1134. He said he's going to choose 1128. Mm-hmm. So 28 being the easiest, whereas for me 34 would be the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this does is, while climbing, I can just pedal and get a higher cadence, but not necessarily get a higher power. It's easier on the climbs, whereas you know, if you don't have that many teeth, you know, it's going to be harder on the climbs. For him, it's okay. He's the racing rider. I am more of a casual rider. So I need the more.
So when you say you are more comfortable with cadence, do you also worry that this is going to affect your lungs? I mean, you are going to run out of gas at some point, right?
No, it's main. So it's not. That's an interesting question, and I frankly don't know how to answer it. So for us, a normal cadence is about 80. I think we can average 80 without stressing ourselves out, without, you know, getting our heart rate up too high, without running out of air. You know, for him, maybe it's a little higher. It's probably 90 for Rajesh. For me, it's about 80. But on a climb, to maintain 80, you have to exert effort even to maintain an 80 cadence. Whatever, you know, chain rings or cassettes that you choose, you still have to make an effort on the climb. You would risk running out of steam and, you know, potentially take a break. Yeah. Even, you know, or Anantagiri Hills climb here, people like Rajesh will make multiple attempts without stopping. They would go down, come back, go up, come back down, go up, come back down, and they won't stop. Somebody like me probably will take a stop in between. Mm-hmm. And that's what you end up doing. And that's time you're losing, but you need to recover. You don't have enough air in your lungs. You need to recover, catch your breath, and then keep climbing again.
So, yeah, since it's a 4 days ride, Harsha, the cutoff is 90 hours. So your heart rate also drops from the day 1 to day 2, 3 and day 4. And that also you need to take into the account. So your heart will be more stressed on the day 4. So your body also will be in so much of fatigue. So you have to consider all these things. So better to choose the gear ratio, because I am comfortable with 1128, and some people can choose even 1132 or 1134. Nowadays, most of the endurance bikes, the new bikes, it's coming out with a 1132 cassette, which is very, very useful for endurance events. And moreover, while on most of the terrain is a rolling terrain, so you have to use the power to get on the downhill, and you have to use that momentum to take the climb.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very tricky thing, and you have to be very careful while taking the momentum. You cannot be on the higher gear, and there you might be losing some power while shifting a front. You have to shift the front gear from bigger ring to smaller ring and keep generate a more higher power.
See how it's all technical about power and...
So let's talk about tires. The one thing that I really hate, even while going on short rides, is a flat. Now, flat can be because of the tire, it can be because of the tube, it can be because of, you know, like your spoke has a problem. So on a ride like this, how do you counter that? Like, what do you carry in order to say, okay, I can at least handle this situation?
Six tubes, one spare tire at least, if you can two, but at least six tubes. And beyond, and if you run out of all of those, I'm sorry. Peg?
No, but one of the things that happens even in our weekend rides and races is people have their spokes broken, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that happens. I've seen that happen more than once. So on a 1200 kilometer ride, you should expect that someone would encounter that.
Yeah, definitely. Someone will encounter even the derailleur breaking, the spokes breaking. So you have to carry the spares, Asha. So you cannot expect the spare availability on the ride. Probably some mechanics, technical support will be there. So you can, spares will be replaced by them, but you have to carry your spare, because every bike is built individually, and the design will change.
Yeah,
and
spokes are different, spoke lengths are different.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to carry your own spokes.
So even the front wheel and the back wheel spoke is a different.
Yeah.
So it's better to carry all the things, and you can expect a technical support from the support station, but that is more important.
Okay, all of Alpi, my bottom bracket was squeaking.
Mm-hmm.
I replaced my bottom bracket because they had maintenance, you know, technical help and one of the controls, and it was still squeaking. And you know, I don't know how many times I messaged Gokul, I think, in between, saying, you know, my bottom bracket squeaking, am I at risk of dropping out of this because something gets broken? And you know, knowing that, you know, they know enough about bikes, and I said, nothing to worry, you can finish it up, you can just go on. So you have to be prepared. I mean, there's no other way around it. The bottom bracket breaking is, or you know, something like that is probably, you can't do much. But the spokes derailleur hanger, chain links, tubes, tires, those are all you will need to carry.
So better to change with the new tires before starting the event, because it's a very big event. So since we are spending so much, it's spend something on the tires, which is very important thing, and better to carry one spare tire along with the bike. If possible, you can keep one spare used tire on your drawback. If required, you may use it on the from the drawback, or you can get back the tube.
Check your cables, check your brake pads, whatever needs to be, you cannot risk on a 1200 kilometer ride with worn out stuff that have potential to break. So if you can replace, whatever needs to be replaced, replace. A common thing is cables. Derailleur cables or your brake cables, they get cut in between somewhere, worn out basically, and usually give up. And then brake pads, you've been using it, you don't realize it, they probably are worn out too, you probably need to replace them. Not realize halfway there I should have changed my brake pads.
Right.
Yeah, always once when you change your tires before going to a big event like this, probably try them out locally. Sometimes these come in a little faulty, if there's a problem with them, you probably realize it in the first 100 kilometers. So if you test them out before you take them out there.
And better to invest in a good tires like a Continental one, the GP4000 S2, which is a rolling resistance and the lightweight, and which has a very good reviews. Or else you can try even the Schwalbe Durano Plus, which has a very good reviews, and even the Michelin Endurance is one more brand where you can get.
So last time when we were talking about LEL, you told us that there were a lot of winds, and your aero bars, just by holding them with your hands crossed, actually helped you. Now, Krishna, you were telling me before the show that there are no aero bars allowed here. How do you counter that when, as we read, that there might be windy flatlands? How do you handle that?
Oh, hold your handlebars as hard as you can.
And hope for the best.
Almost all mass starts actually don't allow aero bars, even in racing. They don't allow aero bars because control on your bike with an aero bar is less when you are in that position. It's meant for more for speed. And this is almost a mass start itself, so no aero bars. And they say there's a lot of fine print that says, certain lengths are allowed, but effectively, if we use a bar set that length, they're no longer aero bars, so no aero bars. And hold as hard, as hard as you can and pray for your life.
Now, they also mention on the PVP website that the checkpoint wait times can be as high as 25 minutes.
Just 25? I was told higher.
And a lot of the food and amenities are actually not included in the entry fee. Like you were talking about drop bags. So even the food and amenities are not included.
Yes. That is interesting. I mean, for us, I think LEL was everything included.
Yes.
And we were pretty much pampered at every control. Even vegetarians had a lot of choice.
Even in some controls in LEL, they have Indian cuisines.
Yes, they had rice and curry as well. Alpi was they had it included, but I think the first 2 days we couldn't find much, and then things started getting better where at least pasta was a staple option. Here, the organizers are not providing anything in the registration price, but from what I understand, there is food at the controls you have to buy. But the wait's going to be long, anticipate 300 riders at least ahead of you trying to buy the same thing. And 25 minutes in a control is time that we've never used to in any of our rides. So that's going to be an interesting challenge as well. And LEL was so well organized with all the people in. I don't think we ever waited in line at a control. This is something new for us.
So what about the clothes? Are you going to wear anything extra? Are you going to do layers? How are you going to play this?
I'm going to be that guy who just, got to the airport and realized that his bag is too heavy. So take some of the clothes, wear them on. No, I think, Gokul explained this last time when we were heading out for LPs, layer up. in LP, our experience was that the climbs we would take off, we would start taking off because our body would get warmer as from the effort of the climb, and the distance we're not pedaling, so our body would start cooling down very fast, so you'd start wearing everything back. layers, that's all. And you have to carry all of this, you know, you have to carry something for wind, something for rain, or, you know, a combination that works for both. When I first went to LEL, I had nothing. I mean, I had a Bitwin jacket from here that probably wouldn't have saved me from anything. And then these guys, I think it was Rajesh and Pradi, who were looking at me like I was some idiot out there, you know, coming ill-prepared. And they made me buy, I mean, we all bought stuff in London in a couple of days. And, you know, I think that's something that people don't expect and have to prepare for.
Yeah, it's better to go with a breathable kind of a jersey. So, no, better not to carry two or three kind of rain jackets, one for the wind, one for the rain, so which is not going to help. Better carry one breathable jersey, which of a very good quality. And you can buy a Gore Windstopper kind of a brand, or the Castelli Nanoflex. As a wind cheater, it works as a wind cheater as well as a rain jacket, and it protects you from the cold as well. So you don't need to wear additional warmer if you use the Gore-Tex one. Even the Castelli also does the same thing. But I carried even the body warmer for LP and LEL, but you don't need to wear this body warmers on top of the below the Gore.
Okay.
Because your body is hot while riding on the 3 degrees or 4 degrees condition. But your body should, heat has to hold it by your Gore or a Castelli or the wind cheater one. And it has to, some breathability should be there. So better to invest in a good clothing. I recommend the Gore Gore-Tex one, or even the leg warmers as well. So the leg warmers is protect you from the rain, and even it gives a sort of a compression to give a blood flow for a better recovery also. You can.
Since you're recommending them, are you selling any?
No.
No. Don't forget shoe covers.
Yeah, shoe covers is one more important thing to be carrying. So that
I don't know if you ever walked around in wet shoes or tried riding in wet shoes.
No, I haven't had the pleasure.
So, too long an exposure to water in your shoes, you start getting, your skin starts peeling off and stuff. So, you have to carry spare socks. If possible, waterproof socks
is a better option.
They have multiple things. I mean,
yeah.
They made me buy in LEL, which I still use.
Which we brought
Dexhell,
in
I think,
yeah,
is what we were
exactly.
using.
Dexhell is a waterproof socks. It's a breathable waterproof socks.
In terms of navigation, PVP is supposed to have signposts everywhere. This is something that everyone who's been there seems to comment on, which is actually kind of strange for a 1200 kilometer, right? Like, how many signposts are you going to have?
Yeah, I heard this in PVP, Asha, because LEL is most challenging in terms of navigation. So there is signboards in LEL, but not in every turn. But whereas in PVP, the riders who rode on the PVP have mentioned that it is impossible to miss you in a PVP.
Mm-hmm. No getting lost, huh?
No, yeah. So, PVP, they mentioned, they maintain very well in terms of navigation, but better prepare your own navigation system, like load your route on the cell phone or a cyclo computer. If something is went wrong, it's better to retrack on the
course. Interestingly, Alpi had route markers. Hard to find, but they had route markers for all the 59 kilometers. The funny part is they're hard to find. So if you see a green arrow somewhere sticking to a pole or a wall, that's the marker.
Hard to find, and it's a reflective.
Yeah, yeah, and they had it all along.
So most of the markers in Alpi was about radium markers, and it's a huge bunch of markers, it will be hidden somewhere, the LP mark will be hidden somewhere. Because there are too many events will be happening on that places.
Right.
So, you can expect some markings in a PvP, but better be on your own profession.
Hey, there's one other trick that always works. Follow that guy. I know there are people who did that in LEL.
Yeah, but make sure that he is riding the PvP. He is heading towards his home, so he had to...
So there's probably bibs or something hanging off their bikes, right? So you can probably still identify them.
Hey, Alpi, I met a guy at midway between two controls, and he had a DI2 system, and it was broken, and he was fiddling with it. And, you know, I expected him to be one of the Alpi riders, so I spent about 20 minutes trying to help him fix his DI2, and then realized he's a local guy. So, yeah, I mean, follow the right person, that's important.
Yeah, follow the... Okay, so let's talk about packing for something like this. So, how do you actually pack your bike so that you can actually unpack it and reassemble it?
Yeah, I don't know. The funny part, that it all started with actually paying for our flight tickets. We have to find an airline that doesn't charge extra for the bike. Because almost all our bike packs are oversized. And you know, airlines have different weird policies.
And Krishna has an extra large size frame.
Yeah, So my bag usually is going to be longer than because I have an what my frame is.
He uses 58 size of frame.
58 size frame, so it's going to be a larger box, and most airlines actually start charging a fee for it. Even in domestic airlines now charge a fee. So and. You have to carry all these spares, all these clothes that you have to layer up, and then you have to go a few days ahead. So you need your own clothes as well. So, you know, packing itself is a challenge. And on top of that, how do you make sure your bike arrives safe in Paris? You know, who was, I think it was Srinivas Gokulnath who was doing Race Across Australia, who had... Race Across Australia. Who had, his bike arrived broken.
The frame?
The frame.
Wow.
Broken. So, we have to be cautious about how we pack it. Not that he was just a case of bad luck. But can happen to any of us. So, we're constantly, the best are those cardboard boxes. Probably the cheapest option is the bikes come in. Most bike shops actually pack your bike in them for you. But there are also expensive options.
Yeah.
I bought a local cloth bag. Not really cloth, but some kind of a waterproof material. And, for a flight, it was not a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't break anything, but I know that my bike did take some stress on it. So you'll have to figure out a way to secure your bike. Also, airlines have these limitations that you have to remove the pedals, you have to remove handlebar as well. I think they have these limitations. So you have to watch out how you pack your bag, and then you go there, and then you have to reassemble back everything. So, mark your seat heights, mark your handlebar position so you don't lose your bike fit, which is something that Rajesh probably enlightens on the bike fit. Those pieces, and, these can get expensive, the bike bags.
Mm.
As expensive as the flight ticket themselves. You buy them once, you use them for a long time, but you need to worry about making sure your bike arrives safer.
Yeah, the cheaper option is to go to your local bike shop and get a proper packing done.
Mm.
So it comes as the original bike packing setup. So I use the same kind of a thing for both the events which I've done previously. It's a cheap and a better option.
That sounds like the bike fit is actually the riskier part, because you get it off by maybe a centimeter, your saddle or your saddle height or your handlebar alignment, and that's it. You are going to suffer.
Centimeter is a very big number.
Centimeter is still a very big number, much less than that.
Happened to me in LEL where I think I didn't mark my saddle height. And I got it wrong, and I started having knee pain, and I corrected it too late, and I couldn't ride because of the knee pain. So eventually ended up dropping out. So that's why probably I'm more stressing on these. But you know, something to watch out for those who are who've not had that experience.
So better to mark the saddle angle, so you can use your phone for a saddle angle, what you are get used to here on your training ground. So, and handlebar, you can mark on the handlebar as well. Even the handlebar angle also is very important. So these parameters, which is very, very, you cannot miss it on the bike fit. And the bike fit is the very important thing which makes you comfortable on the such a long rides. So if you are not so comfortable on the bike, so better go with the bike fit and get used to the bike fit and go with the
And Gokul,
the same fit.
Gokul said this, I think it was before Alpi, do not try anything new on the ride. You know, take stuff that you've all tested, make sure it works for you. Even, you know, food, for example, if you're used to certain gels or sports drinks, stick with what you're used to, not try anything new. It, you know, you don't know how it reacts to your body.
So let's talk about the favorite part of everyone's travel, or every Indian's travel, which is visa issues. I remember submitting about 60 or 70 documents for a 1 week trip recently to Europe. Yeah, so let's hear your stories on that.
For me, it's become a habit now. I think it's 60 or 70 pages. You know, you got your bank statements, you got your tax returns, you got, you know, proof that you actually live in India, and you have connecting things that will bring you back to India. Convince them somehow that you're not going to settle out there and you're coming back. It's an interesting journey. In every visa is an interesting journey. Well, the difference is that if you apply for a US visa, it's an interview. You go there, they tell you whether you get it or not, and you're done with it. Here, you apply and then you pray and wait, because they take a week, sometimes longer, before they you know, you get your passport back and you open it, and that's the only way you know whether you got your visa or not. You know, and if you have time, maybe you should go visit the temple.
Yeah, Chilakot temple. The visa god.
And it's sometimes it feels random that why people are getting declined. I'm sure they have their reasoning behind doing it, but if you look at it from our perspective, it probably feels random. You know, getting declined for weird reasons. Sometimes no reason at all. Hopefully we'll get through. I think we filed our paperwork yesterday. Hopefully we'll get through and we all right there.
Yeah, that's another weird part, right? You can't really apply too far ahead and you have to have your flight tickets booked. It's just really like you feel a little boxed in by all the constraints that they have.
Yeah, and they require confirmed flight tickets, confirmed accommodations, you know, all of that, you know, travel insurance, everything, you know, while you apply for the visa. So, you know, most of these guys bought the tickets like 6 months ago.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Close to 6 months ago.
I booked the ticket in January, probably.
Yeah. I've been probably postponing it. I bought last month, but, and hotel accommodations probably did recently, but, the requirements are for the visa. You need to have them. Not much of a choice. So, you want to ride in Paris, then make the visa guy happy.
So apparently the French shout allez allez, so watch out for that. So whenever someone is going by, they keep shouting allez allez, which means come on or go, that sort of thing. And when they see riders, they are also going to offer you water and cake, which flavor has not been mentioned. I haven't been able to establish that. So don't bother asking them if the cake is vegetarian, by the way, Krishna.
No, Krishna has to ask them even, is there any fruit, in the cake?
Yeah, so no strawberries allowed.
Even strawberry flavor also.
Yeah,
allowed.
Not even.
Hey, the French food is going to be a struggle for me. I know that. So it is what it is. I have to figure out a way there.
Yeah, so the French don't take kindly to such suggestions.
I don't know what I'll do. I'll see.
So anyway, I'm open to all options, like vegetarian, non-vegetarian, any kind of a non-vegetarian.
I don't know. I mean, they're just having the Tour of France right now. And, you know, you guys are going to be there a month later. Something tells me the people
will be
a little, yeah, a little bored. I mean, come on. Okay, then there goes another set. Like, we just had the pros go. Now the amateurs are going.
And interestingly, this time the Tour de France, the last stage is starting from the Rambouillet, which is the start point of the PBP.
Yeah, yeah.
This edition.
Mm. Thank you, Rajesh and Krishna, for being repeat guests on the show. We hope to do a recap of the ride once you guys are back and have successfully completed it. And, you know, in 4 years' time, you guys can come back on the show and talk about your experiences.
In 4 years' time, you'll probably have a lot more people than us to interview.
Yeah,
probably won't need us at that point.
So
we'll be happy to be
there.
Back, but I think you'd have more options. And hopefully we'll finish this one.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for having on the show, Harsha.
Yeah, thank you, Harsha.
Thank you, guys.